Blake Murphy joins us because he can't wait to talk about the Raptors' outstanding performance last night from Raptors Republican contributor to Sportsnet. Blake, say something positive, please. Something, anything.
Fred VanVleet got playoff experience that might be valuable for him in the future.
All right. I love it. How you doing? I mean, seriously, if you didn't have to watch the game, when would you have turned it off?
I would imagine most people turned it off around halftime, which is probably when the big thing was that they cut the lead to 27 at the half.
Those were big points.
I think most people probably tuned out around then. That was probably the, have faith in your team and everything, but that was probably the logical point to just cut your losses for the night.
Is there any way to pick one guy and say, I was most disappointed in player X? I mean, I think we've been at a crossroads with Damari Carroll and starting and minutes for, I want to say, at least since they've acquired PJ Tucker. But would it be DeMar? I mean, it's just a playoff game where all-stars just don't have those sort of playoff games. I mean, when it's getting the kind of coverage in the States it's getting, and there were other games last night, including LeBron's comeback, it's pretty significant what DeMar didn't do last night.
Yeah, look, it's no one guy's fault when you lose by 27 and you're down by 20 points in the first quarter. Like, Jonas Valanciunas didn't come out with great energy. Damari Carroll was pretty shaky in the first half. You know, some of these consistent bad starts have to fall on the coaching staff. But for DeMar DeRozan to go without a field goal for the first time ever in a postseason game, it's the first time since January of 2015 he's gone without a field goal in a game. And Giannis Antetokounmpo was, I don't know if he was trying to clown DeRozan a little bit in his postgame presser, but it certainly sounded petty when he kind of just looked at the stat sheet and like raised his eyebrows at what DeRozan had put up. That's the one that probably hurts the most and had, you know, kind of got you behind the eight ball a little bit, just because they do run so much through DeMar early in games. And it really wasn't there. He regressed as a passer out of those traps that Milwaukee was throwing at them. They were blitzing a little bit more, but he was also taking things to the sideline instead of to the middle of the floor a little bit more. Again, it doesn't fall on one guy, but DeRozan's performance was the most off of what his standard normally is. It's not like Kyle Lowry was great or anyone really had a good game.
Yeah, I was talking about that yesterday. I was concerned when it came to DeRozan, mostly because it's almost like they've gotten away. He was the man, right? I mean, when Lowry went down, he was the guy. He scored the big buckets. He won some games late in the game, like two or three times. He's standing there like, hey, I did it because I'm this guy. And they're not letting him be that guy now. I mean, they went out and got two other players, and they've kind of deflected the reason that the team wins games. Maybe he's just not feeling the love.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's that. On paper, Lowry should make things even easier for DeRozan. All the tension that he was facing before, Lowry, even if he was just spotting up to shoot threes, that helps DeRozan a lot. So they've still had the ball in his hands a ton. He's still initiating a lot of the offense, and there are better pieces around him now. So I don't know if it's that or just Milwaukee's pressure. I thought he's had good first half in the previous two games where he kind of attacked this defense the way you should attack this defense, but the combination of Milwaukee's length and traps and just these slow starts where they, you know, they get in holes and then try to do too much, they're all a little uncomfortable right now. And I think, you know, it's tough to just say DeRozan, do what you did in the first half of the first two games, but do it over 48 minutes. But that's kind of the answer. He was moving the ball well out of those traps, picking up some of those secondary hockey assists, and once again last night back to zero assists in that one.
Blake Murphy, our guest, RaptorsRepublic.com. You can find his work there. It's great, pretty great comprehensive site. Some contributions to Sportsnet.ca as well. We all feel like we slept a little bit on Milwaukee. They had a much better second half than first half. We were all swept up in how Miami's second half was. I was anyway. So I think we undersold Milwaukee. But I don't feel that bad because I feel like people in Milwaukee, Blake, were underselling this team. And people all across the U.S. were not picking the Bucks to win this series. And yet, if we check back on this team in 2 years, if they don't have any major injuries and there's a emergence of Jabari Parker again, aren't they going to be one of the East's best teams? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely on that track. But your point about people in Milwaukee not even having faith, what I do for every series is I kind of go around and touch base with writers for the Raptors and for other teams to kind of get a feel of the different predictions. And obviously very few national analysts were picking the Bucks in this way. I think only like three of ESPN's 30 picked them. But, you know, I picked Raptors in six initially, and that even seems pessimistic relative to what people, including Bucks writers, were thinking about this series. It was a lot of Raptors in five. And I think, you know, part of it was people expected this Bucks team to be a little inexperienced and a little young and maybe, you know, shocked by the bright lights and stuff. But it almost felt like the opposite, where the Raptors were that team despite their experience in the playoffs. And Antetokounmpo had played in a playoff series before, so maybe that shouldn't have been the expectation. But they've been great. You know, Thon Maker has far outperformed what would have been reasonable expectations for him. Antetokounmpo hasn't missed a beat. Chris Middleton's been really good. Like you say, you look at these pieces, Malcolm Brogdon, Jabari Parker, as long as they don't, you know, botch things in free agency. Remember 2 years ago, they went to six games in a first round playoff series and then went out and tried to get Gravis Vasquez as a splash. As long as they don't make missteps like that, they're going to be in really good shape for a while. Giannis, Middleton, Brogdon, Maker, that's a really good core to start with. And then, you know, how much Parker factors in, we'll see. But even without him, this is a great starting point.
But Blake Antetokounmpo is the key, right? I mean, National Basketball Association teams and championships are driven by the best players in the sport, and he certainly is approaching that. Nothing that could have been thought possible when he was drafted.
Yeah, he's, you know, if he's not a top five player in the league already, he's a top 10 player in the league, and he's only 22. He's still growing, and you see over the course of the season and you see over the course of the series how he begins to read things a little better, and he's a very thoughtful player and a very intelligent player. And I think, you know, the sky really is the limit for him, because, you know, he has all these tools and this length and all these natural gifts. And then everything you hear about him is that he's also a relentless worker. He's in that kind of DeRozan-LeBron class of, you know, when a game ends, you're driving to the practice facility if you aren't happy with your performance. So it's tough, man. People have talked for the last decade about trying to get past LeBron James in the East, and, you know, we're not quite there with Antetokounmpo yet, but he's still only 22. It's crazy young for a guy to be playing at this level consistently. You really can't put a ceiling on what he could become over the next, you know, 5-10 years.
Blake Murphy, our guest. We got under a minute. Bulls-Celtics go game three tonight, United Center, and the Bulls just kind of meandered their way through the season, a Dwayne Wade injury. But now with what they've got and a lot of veteran presence there, is this more about what the Bulls have done, or have the Celtics indicated that they were a very overrated, oversold, overcooked number one seed in the East this year?
No, this is the worst thing about the Raptors doing poorly. You can't laugh at the Celtics.
You cannot laugh at Boston. You're correct about
that's
this.
True. Yeah.
I think it's more Chicago than Boston. Boston's wilted a little bit, but like you said, Chicago kind of slept through. They got Dwayne Wade back. They have these guys who turn it on in the playoffs. And then from what it sounds like, a lot of this is player coached, and they've kind of pushed Fred Hoiberg aside, which you don't want to hear long term. But in terms of getting it together quickly, Chicago's doing a lot of things much, much better. And they, even when they're not shooting well, Robin Lopez is just cleaning up the offensive glass like crazy. Boston needs a win tonight in the worst way. They're in an even worse position than Toronto right now.